In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place when Quirinus was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." While the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. While they had seen him, they spread the news concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Well, this is nice, isn't it? All nice and sparkly and... We're aiming for nice. It's not nice when the screens don't work, but everything else is going quite well, I think. It's quite nice. What you aim for at Christmas is nice, isn't it? It tends to be nice, what you aim for. I don't think any of us tomorrow, as we get to Christmas, is aiming for challenging, extreme, exciting. I know, certainly for me, when it comes to Christmas, I want nice. I want nice decorations. I try to hold my wife back from putting them up too early. But they are nice when they're up. I want nice food. I want nice people. I want nice when it comes to Christmas. But we don't always want nice, do we? Sometimes you don't want to be described as nice, do you? Sometimes when you look at sports punditry or something like that, they might talk about an athlete who's a little bit too nice, means they lack that competitive edge. Have you ever had somebody say to you, "Oh, you're so nice"? You don't want to be described nice that way. That means you're a bit naive. And there's some things in life that we come across, and nice isn't the right word, is it? We can't look back at massive political movements of the past, the suffragette movement, and say, "Yeah, nice." It's not the right word, is it? Can't look at the abolition of the slave trade or whatever it might be and just say, "Yeah, that's nice." It's an oversimplify, isn't it? Something that's so hugely significant and actually quite complex and quite deep, and we just reduce it to one word. Nice. But actually, when it comes to Christmas, that's what we so often do, isn't it? We just want nice. We're aiming for nice. We'll settle for nice. And every year when we come to the Christmas story, that's what we do, don't we? When it comes to the nativity story, we're happy to dress our kids up in various different outfits. Shepherd outfits, innkeeper outfits, sheep outfits, angel outfits. We want something nice. And so we come to the Christmas story every year and we airbrush it so that everything that's nice is in there and everything we don't like so much kind of gets hazed out on the sides. Well, what we're doing as a church in the run-up to Christmas is we're trying to look at the real Christmas. We're trying to go back to the original source material in the Gospels. And we're trying to see what's genuine from what we're used to and what's actually just been added over the years in our desperation for niceness, our desire just for comfort. And what we're going to do tonight, just for a few moments, is we're going to look at the Christmas story. And as we do that, we're going to look at the misconceptions, the things that that actually we get wrong every year. And we're going to look at the reality, what the Bible actually says. And then we're going to think about why it matters. So firstly, we're going to look at the misconceptions. And earlier, you might remember, we had a passage read out about a person called Simeon, a man called Simeon. And what happens in that passage is Jesus is a baby, he's been born, and his parents take him to the temple. It's kind of like a christening. If you imagine, you know, you've got a new baby, what do? You take him to be christened. You kind of follow what the tradition is. At that time, it was the law. A new baby would have to be dedicated to God at the temple. And so Joseph and Mary take Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. And when they're there at the temple, they meet this old guy called Simeon. And if we're going to look at the story of Christmas and we're going to try and aim for nice, we can fit kind of Simeon in a kind of a nice way, actually. Picture someone who's like Gandalf-like. A wizard, but not a scary wizard. Not Sauron, but Gandalf. Okay, someone who's nice. And in our story, Jesus and Mary, they bring the baby, they've done what the law requires, and then this old dude comes shuffling in from the side, and he takes the baby in his hands, and he lifts it up like in The Lion King, and he's like, the chosen one. It's pretty much what he says. If you have a look at the verses, this is a prayer that he prays to God out loud, but look what he says. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon is here saying, oh, I can die happy now. I've seen the Messiah. I've seen the one that's going to save Israel, that's going to save the world from its sin. That's okay. Maybe we can fit Simeon in if the next nativity play. I totally understand that. If we're going to go with the whole nice vibe for Christmas, that's cool. Maybe we should get Simeon in there. But the first thing I want us to notice as we look at that, as we look at the real Christmas, we need to realize firstly that it's not just about peace and hope. These verses, we can easily fit into our nativity plays normally because they kind of click with everything we talk about already. Peace and hope and joy. All the themes that are nice, that we like to celebrate, that we like to aim for, that we like to say, yeah, let's work towards those kind of things. But actually, as we look at the real Christmas, we see Christmas is about a person. Have a look at what, I'm going to bring it up on screen. Have a look at what Simeon says as he talks about this child. And actually, as we see what Simeon says here, we see nice isn't really the right word. So imagine, you've got Mary and Joseph, they've come to the temple, then this man shuffles over and says these amazing things about their baby, and they are amazed by what Simeon says. But then Simeon comes over to Mary, and he's holding this child, and he says this to the mother about this child. He says, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. If we're going to look at the reality of the Christmas story, it's not a fairy tale with some morals attached. It's not a nice story with some nice themes that we all like to talk about. Actually, the reality is that Christmas is about a person. It's about a person. The person of Jesus. Simeon, this old man, has been waiting to see what God's salvation plan would look like. And here he gets this tiny baby in his hands. I don't know when the last time it was that you had a tiny baby in your hands. But he has this tiny, vulnerable little baby in his hands. And he says, I can now die happy. Because I've seen the way God is going to save the whole world. It's this person, this tiny baby. Christmas is about a person. The person of Jesus. This person is fully God, and yet is still a person that's physical, tangible. The same way I am here now, this person lived and breathed and engaged with people and walked on the earth. Historians have documented this person's life. a real person. So the first question I want to ask you is, how do you react to the person of Jesus? Sometimes we celebrate Christmas and we just look at the themes, the nice themes like love and joy and peace. But that's like a little bit like going to somebody's birthday party and only ever talking and celebrating things like cake. It's cake day. It's party day. It's balloon day. And at the heart of it, there's someone whose birthday it is and just gets left. Christmas is all about a person. How do you react to the person of Jesus? Who do you say he is? And what are those opinions based on? He's a person. Christmas is about a person. And it's a person, actually, who challenges us. We'll see that in the verses that Simeon says. As he comes to Mary, all these things that he says to Mary, he says that this baby is going to be the cause of the rise and fall of many in Israel. He's going to be someone that's going to be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. There's a sense that this person, Simeon is talking about the tiny baby at this point. He says, as this baby grows up, he is going to be opposed. He's going to be challenged. He's going to be hated. Why? Because he's going to be a mirror to what the heart of the human condition really is. He's going to be a mirror that shows people's true reflection, not the fantasy that they'd rather see. Because we're people that we'd rather live with a pleasant lie than the uncomfortable truth, wouldn't we? Just think the last time you took a photo that you knew you were going to be in. Might have been a selfie, might have been a group photo. Some of us hate doing that because we just much rather not have any photographic evidence that we are a person in the world. We just don't like the way we look. And we'd rather not ever have to face up to that. Sometimes we'll take photos and it will be, okay, make sure that this filter's on, let me tweak the brightness, let me tweak the contrast, let me see it first before you post it to Instagram or whatever. Sometimes we take photos and we'll take 10 and we'll choose whatever one we think looks best because we'll say, that's really me, that's not really me. And we do that with our own morality. We project the best side of us. And when we think about ourselves, we think, I'm not that bad, there's other people worse than me. But Jesus is a person who challenges us because he is truly perfect. And he lived a life that was absolutely perfect in the eyes of God. And when we see people like that, it makes us realize, it shines a light on us, and we realize we're not perfect. And no matter what we can do, we can never get to that level. And that's tough. That's hard. That's why Simeon says this is a man that's going to be opposed. That people are going to speak against because he's going to show them. He's going to show people things about themselves they don't want to know, they don't want to see. But that's the reality of Christmas. It's about a person who challenges us. Secondly, a person who dies for us. The person of Jesus who dies for us. Maybe we're starting to see a little bit why the Simeon's not included in some of our nativity stories. Maybe we're thinking, this is a bit, don't know if I like this. At first it seemed nice, you know, kind of wizardy old Gandalf type dude coming on and saying, the chosen one. Now it's a little bit like a witch on the side, almost muttering a curse, isn't it? It's got a little bit dark. Because as he talks to Mary, he basically says to Mary, this child is going to cause division and will challenge in a people that will expose their hearts and they won't like that. And then he goes on later on in verse 35 and he says, this child is going to break your heart, Mary. There's going to come a time when what happens to this child is going to pierce you right to the core of who you are. And what he's doing there is he's predicting Jesus' death. That moment when Jesus grows up and he goes to the cross and he dies, not for anything that he'd done, but for the sin of the world and for the sin of normal people like you and me. And so as we look at the Christmas story, I hope that you're starting to see that actually nice isn't quite the right word. There's lots that's nice about Christmas, but actually nice just flattens something that is immensely important. Nice can put across as sort of can be patronizing towards something that's more important than anything else. Simeon's words to Mary, they're not necessarily nice, are they? But they're massively significant. So we've thought a little bit about the misconceptions, thought a little bit about the reality. Well, why does it matter? Just as we wrap up, why does it matter? Well, maybe for you, the issue isn't the niceness of the Jesus story, of the Christmas story. It's the truthfulness, the truth of the Jesus story. Maybe as you look at the Jesus story and you look at the Christmas story, there's a haze around it and there's a big maybe in your mind. You're just not really sure what's true and what's not. What's myth and what's reality? If that's you and you're wondering about that, can I invite you to take a book home with you tonight to kind of explore a little bit more? We've got a few books over there where all the twinkly lights are and where the snacks are. One of these is called Christmas Uncut, and that just really tries to just look at the Christmas story and say, what really happened and why does it really matter? Do take one of those away. They're free for anyone who wants them. Do take one of those. We also have these other books called Are You Ready for Christmas? Do use this year as an opportunity to find out what really happened. When I ask you that question, what do you make of the person of Jesus? How do you answer? And what do you base that answer on? Investigate for yourself. What we've had read to us today from the Gospels in the Bible were not written by people that call themselves novelists. They weren't treated as novelists. They were respected as historians, especially Luke, respected as a historian. So will you investigate that story this year? But I hope you've seen that it's nice isn't quite the right word. I really do hope you have a really, really nice Christmas. But I hope you have a Christmas that's so much more than that. Because this person of Christmas, the person of Jesus, is about our world. It's about our frustrations every single day, our struggles, our flaws, our weaknesses. It's somebody who came and says, I can sort all of that out. I can make you right with God, and I can give you a future that is more amazing than anything you can possibly dream of. And so it matters to every single one of us. What I'm going to do now as we close is I'm just going to pray. I don't know if you're used to that, but what should happen when you're in a church environment like this and the dude up the front prays is he is praying on behalf of everybody in the room. So I'm going to pray on behalf of everybody in the room. So listen to what I say, and if you agree with what I say, then join me at the end in saying amen. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to hand back to Tim. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for all the things that we enjoy about Christmas. But we're conscious that in almost no time at all, Christmas will be over. And we'll be getting on with things that probably we'd rather not do. We recognize that very often the nice things, the pleasurable things, the happy things in life are fleeting and go so quickly. And the pain and sorrow and sadness of life comes back all too suddenly. Father, help us to see the person of Christmas this year and see why he's so important. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.